News and Talk 1380. WAOK, the voice of the community. Up under me, Leroy, Sugarfoot, Bonham, Ohio Players. I'm your brother. In the studio with me, to my left, Reverend Eric Vance.
Yeah.
The youth minister at Rush Memorial United Church of Christ, which is on the campus of the AU Center, Clark Atlanta University. The university in the Atlanta University. On my black line, I got calling in from Dallas, TX. Glad to have my dear brother back on the show again. Friend of the movement, graduate of Morehouse, representing. And I must be very honest. I'm very, very, very impressed with my dear brother. Please put your hands together for him, Lee Merritt. Oh, I mean, putting together for a long time. Yeah, thank you. All right. Attorney Merritt.
Yes, sir.
Good morning to you, dear brother.
Good morning, bro.
Hey, look, thank you for hollering at me on the black line. We wanted to try to stay up to date. We're continuing to walk with you and with the family of both of John and the community in Dallas as you attempt to get to the truth. We're not getting as much information up here as y'all have down there. Could you help us with the latest, please?
Sure. I guess the best place is to start from the beginning. But
please, have your way.
Yeah, this officer, Amber Geiger, as of September 6th, when the murder was committed, she offered a story to the Dallas Police Department that since has significantly changed and has been falling apart by the evidence that's come in. Her initial story, the story that grabbed headlines, was an officer wandered into the wrong apartment, believing that it was hers. She came home. She had a lot of stuff in her hands. She was trying a key at the door. It wasn't working. The occupant of the home, Bokum Jean, opened the door, surprised him, or surprised her. She thought it was a burglar, so she shot him. Mm-hmm. And then the Dallas Police Department decided that they probably weren't the best to investigate the case, seeing that it toyed the line between an officer-involved shooting and a non-officer-involved shooting, so they brought in a terrible group. And I'll frankly say it, they are a terrible, biased, often racist.
You're talking about the Texas Rangers.
Yeah, she brought in the Texas Rangers, and the Rangers immediately began a process of looking for exculpatory evidence to get this officer out of what was showing to be or building to become a lot of trouble. Mm-hmm. And they came up with a new version of events that they felt would better serve her, along with Ms. Geiger, and they came up with, instead of she was fiddling at the door when he opened it, that the door was actually open already, that it was slightly ajar, and that she discovered when she put her key in it that the door swung the rest of the way open, and she walked into her apartment anyway, saw what she called a silhouette, started giving it instructions. It refused to obey those instructions, and so she shot him, which is a familiar narrative. And then, in addition to that, the law enforcement began to release evidence of criminal behavior alleged by the decedent. Specifically, they went into his apartment and began looking for evidence of drug paraphernalia. They found a weed grinder and a small amount of weed in the apartment, or they allegedly found that.
Yeah.
And they released that information on the day of his memorial, on the day of his memorial services in Atlanta. The breaking news from the local Fox affiliate was that drugs and drug paraphernalia were found in his apartment.
Which was a gutter move.
Yeah, it's a common tactic that we see. First they kill your body, and then they have to kill your name.
Yeah.
And so the reason her story has begun to fall apart, and of course she's been indicted on the minimal charge of manslaughter, when we think the appropriate charge is murder, her stories began to fall apart around her because it just didn't make sense. It didn't comport with common sense. It didn't comport with the facts either. And so as the facts began to come forward, the first thing is, those are sure shut, firestorm doors, still reinforced. When you pull it open, they slam shut.
Right.
Every time, without fail, when you pull it open, they slam shut.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot leave those doors open. You don't have to close them. They close on their own. And mm-hmm. so the idea that when she got to let's be clear,
Attorney Merritt, that's because that's an engineering piece. That's for fire. Right, that's for fire right. safety. That's why they close all the way automatically. So if a fire were to happen, it wouldn't have a large source of oxygen, correct?
That's correct.
Okay,
that's
all right. It. So we know that the door was shut and locked, yeah.
Yeah, so we know that. We know that that's the case, and it's also Botham's habit. He's a meticulous accountant, a very detailed, safety-oriented brother. He doesn't mm-hmm. sit around in the dark. He just doesn't.
Right.
Because... that's not his personality.
Right.
He doesn't leave his doors unlocked. He locks the doors. He puts them into his keys into a bowl next to the door. If you know both of them, you know that when he comes home, that is his routine. He does it every time.
Mm-hmm.
and so
I understood that he talked to his mother every night.
So I have the conversation with it, the last conversation with his mother that night. He described that he was going to watch. The opening season of the football game. He was there at the time that he was killed, watching the Eagles play the Falcons.
Hmm.
So we know that was taking place. We know he was texting some friends of his because he was a very communal guy. He kept in contact with people. And because of that, we knew who he had a relationship with, who he knew and who he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know this officer, so we'll go ahead and kill that rumor. They didn't have a pre-existing relationship. They didn't have a clandestine relationship.
Okay.
They did not know each other,
besides
the fact that she was his immediate downstairs neighbor. And there's some concerns about noise complaints. We're still working that out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that part of the story didn't hold up. The idea that she walked up to the wrong apartment and had no indication that it was not her own didn't hold up because Botham Jean, being the person that he was, he never wanted anybody to mistake his apartment for their own. So he went out and he bought a big red, bright welcome mat
mm-hmm.
so that people would know that they were on his property and not their own.
Right.
And it would have been hard to miss. She didn't have a big red mat at her apartment complex, so that should have alerted her that she was not at the right door.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that her door swung open, again, we're talking about when she approached it, when you put her key in it, that it swung open. Again, it doesn't work because of the mechanical issue with the steel-reinforced doors that only swing shut. They don't swing open.
Right.
Yeah, so her story is falling apart. We don't know what actually happened. We may never know what actually happened. We do have witnesses who say they heard her banging on the door. We do have witnesses that heard her saying, open up. And we have, every day we're finding more witnesses. In fact,
in a video?
Saturday we found more witnesses. Those witnesses took video after the fact. They saw her pacing and on her phone.
I'm talking about like on the hall. In one of those kind of complexes, you would think that there would be video on the hall.
That you would think in the mm-hmm. apartment complex, in my opinion, share some of the liability in this because that's a rational safety measure.
Mm-hmm.
If for no other reason, that they're having other complaints about safety in that apartment complex and about criminal activity in that apartment complex and cameras, which would have just been a reasonable measure to have there. But there were none, for what it's worth.
Okay. So... we are continuing to support the other attorneys, in your efforts to bring justice to light in this case. We'll be continuing to reach out to you until we find out what really happened. And I thank you for being willing to call in and to be a part of the show. It's the movement. We want to know what's really going down because we're trafficking in truth-telling. Okay?
That's right.
All right. Thank you, my dear brother. Bless.
Thank you for having me. Bless.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Attorney Lee Merritt, y'all. Yeah. Atlanta's own or Morehouse College grad. A real attorney that gets it done, man.
Mm-hmm.
404-892-2703 is my number. I'll be black when I get back. With more of this thing called The Movement on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.